Everything that we see is coming through us, and it's our judgment, our definitions, our perception, our qualifications of everything. So, like, we are the focal point in our life. We are giving everything that we see today its definition and its purpose, right? It's all coming through us. We're literally creating our own unique world.
Self-belief is a journey, not a destination. It takes time and effort and continuous work to cultivate a strong sense of self-belief, but the rewards are well worth it. When you believe in yourself, you unlock your full potential and open yourself up to a world of endless possibilities. What beliefs do you think could be holding you back from your highest potential? In this inspiring episode with Jessica West, you're going to explore the depth of your subconscious beliefs and how to harness them to manifest a life aligned with your true desires so you rewrite your story and create a life of empowerment. Welcome back, athletes. I'm your host, Sherry Chaban. And with each episode, I am honored to be your coach and guide in the journey to fall in love with fitness and ultimately yourself. My intention in each episode is to help you release the old story of who you are and step into the one you are always meant to be. Through these conversations, together, we will step away from focusing on all the doing and step into the being so that health and fitness is not just what you do, but who you are. In this episode, Jessica West, a mindset coach and expert in subconscious reprogramming, discusses the power of belief and how to identify and release limiting beliefs that no longer serve us. Jessica shares her personal story of resilience and self-discovery after a life-altering car accident. She emphasizes the importance of self-awareness, self-love, and recognizing our connection to a greater purpose to make the impossible possible. Jessica provides us with valuable insights on using tools like meditation to shift our mindset and create a more positive and fulfilling life. Tune in today to learn how to rewrite your story and believe in your own power. Now, the key takeaways that you're going to be walking away with today after listening to this episode is number one, how to overcome societal belief systems. Number two, the importance of seeking support from a coach. Number three, the importance of the subconscious mind and visualizing beliefs. Number four, the importance of self-awareness and understanding oneself. And number five, the significance of recognizing our role in creating our own reality. All right, athletes, now super quick reminder before we meet Jessica. If you head on over to iTunes and rate and review this podcast, giving me a 5-star review to really help spread the message and help people fall in love with fitness. And then take that screenshot and send it on over to sherry@sherrychaban.com so that I know who you are. You're going to be granted a $500 voucher to join me this October, October 12 to 19 in Lefkada, Greece for the most epic retreat, Transformation in Paradise Metamorphosis. Now, during these 7 magical days together, we're going to release self-sabotaging beliefs as well as addictive patterns that have kept us away from achieving that highest version of ourselves. So that struggle with health and weight becomes a thing of the past. Now, if you want to learn more about this retreat, just head on over to sherrychaban.com/retreat to check out the testimonial and to learn a little bit about what a typical day could look like. Now, if you feel like this is a match for you, but you still have some more questions, feel free to reach out and schedule a call with me just simply by writing to sherry@sherrychaban.com and I'll help you answer all your questions and make sure that this retreat is a match for you. All right, athletes, now without further ado, let's meet Jessica.
Hi, Jessica. Nice to see you again.
Hey, Sherry. Great to see you. I'm really looking forward to our conversation today.
Yeah, same here. I feel so lucky that I got to be on your podcast a little bit earlier this year. And what I noticed that we have a lot in common. So there's a lot of alignment around going through a major incident, car accident, actually specifically. We both had a very similar story around that, but really creating the resilience and really reprogramming subconscious mind to new beliefs to really start to change our lives. So before we jump into that, maybe we can just start with an introduction of who Jessica West is and maybe even share some of the work that you do today.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So I won't get too much into my story and the accident just now, but That was really a pivotal moment for me, and it really got me to start looking within and recognizing the power that I held in creating my life and really interpreting what was happening. And we all have, you know, we all have the power to create our own life. And so that just opened up my mind, and it kind of sent me on this journey of doing the inner work and just learning as much as I can about the subconscious mind. So as you're saying, I really love working with the subconscious and looking at those beliefs that we have on repeat that's not serving us. We've really just acquired them from life around us, but they don't have to hold true to us if we choose to release the power that we're giving them. And so I help people really rewrite the stories that they're telling themselves that are no longer serving them so that they can go out and truly create the life and the impact that they want to make. And so I'm a certified mindset coach. I've also studied NLP and different energy healing techniques like EFT tapping. I do hypnosis. And so just really everything to help empower others to live their greatest life, because we're here for that life.
So good. So what's super interesting about this conversation, and what I tend to notice, that especially when it comes to belief systems, right? We never oftentimes give ourselves a chance to question them. Where did they come from? Who told me this? Have I ever seen anything to be the opposite in my life? And so I want to come back to that, because this is so important as we begin to talk about subconscious programming and really understanding why we operate in our day-to-day life in the way that we do. So let's first talk about these belief systems that you were referring to, that you said comes from our environment, from our upbringing. And my big question for you is, how do I know that a belief system I'm holding right now is not serving me?
Great question. And a great way to check is just to gain self-awareness. I'm a huge advocate for gaining self-awareness, but that's really like honing in on, how are you feeling? How are you feeling in any given moment? And can you really tune in to what is the story that you're telling yourself? And is it a serving story? Is it making you feel good? If not, then that's a limiting belief that you're carrying. I mean, everything in our life is beliefs, right? It's our awareness that we don't know what we don't know. Like, we're living according to the beliefs that we're carrying. And our beliefs were programmed into our minds when we were very, very young. I mean, even in the womb, we picked up what our mothers were feeling. And then from ages 0 to 7, we were kind of like a giant tape recorder in theta brainwaves, which is the state that we get into when we're doing hypnosis. So everything that you're giving, or everything that you were exposed to, was just kind of going in as truth, and it was being on repeat. And so now your life is created according to the stories or the conversations that were happening around you when you were young, or maybe the moments, you know, the interactions between the adults around you, like all of that, you're just taking that in and being like, oh, this is the world, this is it. And so now you're living according to those. But that's just, you know, one interpretation of it, or that you were exposed to certain individuals, but not all of them, right? And so that's not the world, that's your world, because yeah, that's what so you are looking at. And so to really become aware of your beliefs is just, you know, I think just that awareness alone, recognizing that, wait a second, there's a lot of other ways to look at this. Just because I'm living this doesn't mean that this is the only way. And so just opening up our minds, we almost like bring in just that little gap of possibility, just that little gap of inquiry to be like, huh, but what if I were to look at this a different way? And then from there, we can start really maybe even choosing beliefs that we want to experience, and beliefs that will serve us into, you know, where we want to take our life.
Yeah, so good. Because what I'm hearing you say is that throughout, let's say, our upbringing up until, let's say, the moment we are today, we've been picking up these belief systems, but not really actually questioning them. My mom mm-hmm. told me this, my dad told me this, I dated this person, so then this must mean that because that happened. And so as we continue to live our lives, unconsciously, all of this is programmed in our mind, but we never really give ourselves a chance to question them. And one of the belief systems that I work with a lot on a day-to-day basis is really helping women overcome this need to constantly be a smaller size, to constantly be focused on being in a smaller body, or even more importantly, thinking that they have some sort of defect and they're constantly needing to work on themselves, because unless they look a certain way, then they won't be accepted, they won't be loved, they won't have connection. And so this is a belief system that we may have picked up from our environment and from our experiences in life. However, we still have this constant bombardment of this information in our society on a day-to-day basis. So again, coming back to that question of, I may have a belief system that doesn't serve me and I'm working hard to release it, yet there's this constant re-exposition of this belief system. So how do I release that and how do I then take on and adopt new beliefs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it creates like this whole cycle and this feedback loop of believing, wanting to escape it, but seeing that proof on the outside world, and then it's reinforcing that belief. And so honestly, they say there is two ways to change beliefs. Now, this is what I thought previously as well. Like, you can change it through repetition, because we've all gained our beliefs from repetition between ages 0 to 7, right? Or a moment of impact, Sherry, which you and I have definitely experienced that big moment of negative impact, right? But what I've been realizing in the training that I've been doing with the subconscious mind, there's also a lot of other ways that you can directly communicate with your subconscious mind and start reprogramming those. So I mentioned EFT tapping. That is one. Now, EFT, you are doing it through repetition. You're not going to do the one session. Sure, you will experience relief, but it's not going to immediately, you know, switch your belief full force. So what you do with EFT tapping is you're tapping on meridian points throughout your body while affirming positive affirmations, so that you're really moving around those energies and loosening up any of those negative beliefs that you might be feeling, and then bringing in the opposite of that and what you want to welcome into your life. It's a beautiful practice. But there's other ways too that you can speak to your subconscious mind. Our minds speak in images. Like, we always have an image, and I wasn't aware of this, but if you think about it, like, just think about anything, there's always these scenes on the screen of our mind. And when we really hone into that image, we can start really working with our subconscious mind and evoking new images, bringing up new feelings, and then start playing around with those images to create a scene within ourselves that serve us. And this is one way that you can really like bypass the need for, you know, all of that repetition. It doesn't really need to be a lengthy process. Like, I've experienced some shifts almost immediately with some of these techniques. And so it's amazing work. And there's a lot of ways that you can do it. But the one thing that I would recommend to anybody who really wants to take a deep dive is honestly, like, seek out a coach or seek out support, because it's kind of work that is very difficult to do on your own, if not, you know, impossible.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And you know, the coach helps you see your blind spot, really helps you create mm-hmm. awareness around the things that you're not even noticing. And we tend to have this need to sort of lean on whatever feels comfortable for us. So even if that doesn't serve us, that's what we'll tend to default to. And what I've always noticed in me and myself and hiring a coach is that I get challenged in a way where I do have to see a new perspective. I'm challenged with my ideas and my thoughts, and not in a way where I'm forced to change them, but really in a way where I'm forced to, like you were saying, just be curious about them. Well, where does that come from? And how is it actually serving me? And why do I need to keep it? And you know, some of the work that I've been doing in personal development, and I've been in the personal development space now for almost 10 years, like really just going to a lot of courses and events and really learning from a lot of different influencers. And so one of the things that we oftentimes are told is the importance and the power of using I am statements. So rewiring the brain, giving ourselves a new identity simply by having these affirmations, as you were sharing earlier, where it is on repetition until eventually the mind starts to believe them. And then that becomes our new sets of beliefs, or more importantly, our new self-concept, because the one that we've created through our past experience, which we're operating with, may not be fully serving us. But one thing I've actually noticed about that, and especially with the I am statements, is that it's not effective, and I don't feel like it can be effective if there is no belief. So there's one thing about saying them, so we can say them, we can recite them, we can continue to have a daily practice and stay consistent. However, I don't feel that they become impactful if deep down inside, there's like this inner voice from the subconscious mind like, no, you're not. No, you don't have those things. No, that's never going to happen to you. And so we use these I am statements, but at the same time, there's this constant resistance that we could be faced with. And I'm curious, Jessica, if you've ever encountered that, if you've ever actually noticed that sometimes I am statements won't be very impactful. And if so, how could we then fine tune that practice so that it is beneficial to us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Great question. And The I am statements are so powerful, but again, the subconscious mind doesn't speak in words. Mm-hmm. Its language is feeling and images. Mm-hmm. So if you're saying, I am, what do we want to say? I am wealthy, let's say, but deep down, you don't feel like you are. Right. So saying I am wealthy is going to evoke a feeling within you that like, oh, you're fraud or you're lying to me. That's what you're encoding onto your subconscious mind, not the words that you're thinking. And then if you think of the image that you're thinking, like, I am wealthy, what's that image that you're seeing on your mind right now? And when you start to, some of the subconscious reprogramming is like, look at that image, but then look at an image of something that you really think that is true and congruent with you. What are the difference? There might be a difference in, you know, clarity. There might be a difference in the size. That is the language of the subconscious mind. And so you want that image to evoke a feeling and evoke truth within you. And so it's really paying attention on like, what am I feeling? What am I actually seeing on the internal screen of my eye? And so I would say with the I am affirmations, to go for what feels better. Right. And so if it's I'm wealthy and you're like, oh, that's not true right now. Like my BS meter is going off right now. What's the next thing that you can reach for? Can you just say like every day I am getting more wealthy or I am getting more money every day? Does that feel true? Start saying that. And that's building your belief into being able to one day soon, reach for the belief I am wealthy and then feel like, yeah, that's congruent. That feels good.
So well said. Oh man. So well said. So it's almost like we're creating sort of a step-by-step approach towards that big ultimate belief that we want. Mm-hmm. And that makes a lot of sense. And I work with a lot of people when I ask them, okay, let's create a 5-year vision, or let's even create a 1-year vision and write down now all the things that you want. They could go from, let's say, being sedentary for 30 years or more, and maybe struggling with a major dis-ease or metabolic condition, to suddenly writing in their 1-year vision, I'm going to have a 6-pack and I'm going to be climbing up mountains and I'm going to be climbing up these things. And one of the things that I tend to notice is because that seems so far away, doesn't seem tangible enough. And to your point, it's not, I'm in the process of moving towards this thing, because that's really what we're doing. We're always moving towards something. We never actually achieve it. And thank goodness we never achieve it, because that means we would stop working. So we're always moving towards it. And so one of the things that I notice is that as soon as they just readjust, making that I am statement or that ultimate vision or goal more achievable, more realistic, closer to them, then now there's that belief system. And now the body can get on board too, because the mind is thinking this, but now it's the body feeling this too. And when there's a match there, that's what we say happens when we manifest, when we create things, when we draw things into our lives. And more importantly, it really comes from that ability to believe it's possible, because the brain doesn't know if something is real or not. And I think that's what you're getting at, Jessica. If we watch a mind movie or we create a vision board, we can actually make ourselves believe that we have all these things simply through just that visual manifestation that can happen from that. And along those lines, what I'm really curious about, and if you're open to that, just coming back to your story and the importance of starting to work on subconscious mind or subconscious reprogramming, I'm curious what the link was for you there.
Yeah. So I had grown up feeling really unworthy, feeling a lot of self-doubt in myself, not believing in myself, not really liking myself, if I'm being completely honest. Now, I started to kind of do some inner work a little bit before, I would say a few months prior to my actual accident. So life, I mean, it was working. And then all of a sudden, I was in a severe motor vehicle accident. I was T-boned on the highway. We were going 70 kilometers per hour. So we were, you know, thrown into the ditch. I was immediately air flown to a neighboring community because my local community wasn't able to treat my injuries. And I was in a coma for about a day and a half. And all I remember is just this beautiful, infinite darkness. And I knew it was me, but like, I wasn't me. I wasn't Jessica, brown hair, 5'7", but I was all of it. It was almost like this state of like, you know, when you put pencils together and you put all the colors together, it turns black or really dark, right? So it was like this sense of fullness And then this sense of emptiness as well. So it was just an absolutely beautiful experience. And this is what I had for like a day and a half. And then when I, you know, got back to awareness and was informed of all my injuries, I feel like it was that moment that kind of made me change my perspective of the life that I was living. And after that, I kind of just very much became aware of like, oh, this is an experience. And so that kind of alleviated any doubts that I had of myself, because I'm like, I'm just here for the experience. Like, I kind of have a glimpse of the bigger part of me, right? The higher part of myself. And so this is a unique experience. And so I'm going to be here for it. And so I had spent, you know, a month and a half in the hospital after, and I really continued to think about this moment. And there was one day I was sitting in my hospital bed and I was thinking back on my life and kind of doing like a recap of everything. I say I was having that moment, you know, the final moment that people have when they're looking back at their life, maybe in regret, wishing they would have done the things. I mean, at that moment, because I was diagnosed with a severe traumatic brain injury, I had broken my neck, I had broken my pelvis in three places. Like, I was not expected to ever live independently again, or go back to work, or go back to school, or, you know, maintain a social life. Like, my life was, the life that I had led, let's just say, had ended at that point. So I was thinking back like, oh my gosh, why didn't I take that chance? Why didn't I do this when I had the chance to do it? And it was then that it occurred to me that I didn't have those little thoughts in back of my head anymore. I didn't have those self-doubts anymore. I'm thinking, and I'm no brain scientist, but I think it's probably because my brain was still healing. And so you know, the networks that were housing all of those limiting beliefs were kind of busy healing instead of like bringing them back up. But I had a few moments of like zero doubts, just knowing who I am, just knowing that I'm here for the experience. And I was just ready to, you know, take on everything as almost like this challenge. So when I was told that like, oh no, you're not going to, you know, return to work and you might be, you know, live as a dependent for the rest of your life, I was kind of like, no, like, we're going to do this. We're going to get better. And I like launched myself into, you know, different ways to be able to heal myself right from the get-go. And then after a few months, when those self-doubts start to come back, because I mean, I want to be truthful. I'm not telling anybody that I don't have any self-doubts still, you know, we're all right. A work in progress. And so it's something that I work with every single day. I don't believe any of us are going to get to a moment where we don't have those doubts anymore, because part of it is trying to keep us in our comfort zone. And so anytime we're trying to do something that we haven't done before, we're going to come up against those doubts. But what I have now is a way to be able to kind of mitigate them, or a way to prove them wrong, or I always pivot instead for like, what, this is an experience. And so I felt like I was gifted with this beautiful moment to be able to really rewrite those beliefs and really choose what I want to think instead. And it was that really fueled my recovery, I believe, because anytime I would hear, you know, doubt, or even within myself from the outside world or within me, I would rewrite that and be like, no, hold up. You're creating this experience. So what do you want to experience? Oh. Now, this isn't really something that I could gift someone else, right? Because I know I can't give anybody this experience that I felt. But what I can do is get really knowledgeable in the subconscious mind and learn different tools so that I can help people where they're at to start having the tools so that they can shift their beliefs. And so that's really the journey that I've been on since my accident. And it's been really incredible to learn all of this and just experience it all.
Wow. That was so powerful. I have goosebumps just hearing you speak, and I'm just admiring you in such awe, because I'm going to have to admit, when I went through my whole journey, when I was struck by a car, I was 16 at the time. Maybe it's my immaturity, I'm not sure. But by the time I went through my first back surgery, I know that a lot of the thoughts were in my mind were, why me? Why'd this have to happen? This sucks. Like, my gosh, like, why? There was a lot of why. It took me a long time to actually accept my circumstances before I was ready to challenge myself or to move towards something else. what I'm hearing you say is at the peak of what you were going through, so you're still in the hospital, you just got out of your coma, you're already releasing and challenging every single doubt that's coming into your mind. And I can't help but wonder, how do you do that? Where does that come from? Like, where did that energy and that self-love, because that's what I'm actually thinking it is, this is self-love, like, where is that coming from?
Honestly, I think it's stemming from the moment in the coma, just that beautiful, peaceful state. And when I woke up out of it, I thought, if this is where I'm going, and now I don't know, we each have our beliefs of where we're going after this life, but I thought, if that's where I'm going, if I'm going back to that place or someplace similar, then there is nothing I can do in this life to ruin that. I am freedom. I can do anything. And I feel like that just alleviated everything. I looked around and I was like, okay, this will be fun. Like, and I know it sounds so weird. And if anybody's experienced a similar experience and like been in the hospital, but I was just like, okay, we're gonna take this day by day. Now, again, I'm not saying that there wasn't any hard moments. There were some moments that I was like, why me? Oh my God, why me? But the overall feeling of everything was just like, okay, this is gonna be good. I'm gonna make something out of this. And I was in a wheelchair for a little bit. And honestly, I use that as like, well, then if I'm going to be in a wheelchair, I'm going to get really good at being in a wheelchair. So I remember like seeing how fast I can go and seeing how much I could do turns and little like in circles and things like that. I'm like, let's have fun with it. I'm never going to experience this again. I remember it like then graduating to the walker, and then I would do, you know, the back arms. I'm like, okay, well, let's get the arms stronger. And before I was discharged, the hospital, actually, because I was just like a positive light, they actually wanted me to go speak to other patients who had recently had a brain injury. They wanted me to go speak to them to show that, like, you can get through this. This is okay. Like, I've been here for a month and like, there is something on the other side, you know, there could be positivity and strength. And so other people recognized it as well, like just really choosing it as an experience and really like having faith in myself that I could recover. And then again, sorry, to go back to love of your body, I think it gave me such an appreciation at like just how quickly I was able to heal as well. And I mean, when in the hospital after a brain injury, being informed of what had happened even while I was there. So because my brain was swelling so much, they were prepared to have to cut a little bit of my skull open. So they had everything ready. I was informed, but then at the last minute, my body started responding and it started to, you know, heal itself. And so then that wasn't needed. And then, you know, so I was just amazed at how quickly I was able to recover. And even with the broken bones, a month and a half after the accident, when I went back to the hospital or we did the last set of x-rays, they couldn't even see the fractures anymore. They're not even hairline fractures. They're just completely gone. And so I think I was just in awe of what my body was capable of too. And so that brought on a whole sense of like deep self-love for just how incredible my body is and how like quickly it was able to recover. And so I think all of that, it just all like fed on each other and just created like this just incredible experience. Again, not all positive, but still like an experience that, you know, I can look back on now and I'm still learning about it. Like I'm still kind of piecing together these aha moments of like, oh my goodness, like there's so much learning. I don't think it's ever gonna end.
Wow. So powerful. So anyone hearing this first must be floored just hearing your positive attitude, just this light really radiating from you as you're sharing. And at the same time, you're being so truthful and honest and very grounded and saying, yeah, there were challenging times. And I love that because this is a reminder that yes, success also looks like having to go through a lot of challenges. And I can only imagine how much physical pain you had to endure to be able to rehabilitate and heal your body. So what did you do to heal your body? So if we were to say that our diet is not just what we're eating through our mouth, but also what we're consuming from our environment, what did you manage around your diet to help support your healing journey?
Mm-hmm. So I have been vegan for 10 years now. So I was completely plant-based diet for about, I would say 2 years, prior to the accident. And so that stayed the same. And I was including like a lot of superfoods like goji berries, chia seeds, spirulina. Like I would always make sure that I have my superfoods. So that was the nutritional aspect. It's always been something like really big to me, like zero alcohol. Like I'm really conscious of what I'm putting into my body, especially when it comes to brain health now, because I have such respect for my brain and like anything that can alter that. I'm like, nope, nope. Like, I love you just the way you are. But so nutrition was a huge component, but otherwise I was very much into personal development. I did a lot of journaling, a lot of reflection, gained a lot of self-awareness. I did a lot of meditation. I was practicing yoga. I was also going to physio. So for 3 years, I was going to physio every single week for multiple times per week. I also was still able to keep my dog, though I was told that I would probably have to give her up because I was back dependent, but I was able to keep her. And so after a few months, when I got like enough physical ability, I would go out for walks. I mean, every day you got to take your dog out. And so I would go off for walks like for hours on end. And I think that did so much. I spent so much time in nature and just like sitting in reflection. And so I didn't, and during this time, like I didn't watch a lot of TV. Like it was really just time for me to heal. And so it was like a whole, you know, almost like a whole 3 years straight of just really focusing on me. And I know that's not feasible for a lot of people, but it was really just, you know, I feel like almost privileged to say that I was able to have that 3 years to just solely focus on me and my healing and really gaining this self-awareness.
So good. So good. And sounds also that you did put your healing first, like you put this as a priority. And that I find is the most important formula in any sort of transformation, is to make that a priority. And that definitely seems like it, and sounds also like your other priority was self-love. And so coming back to just that conversation we were having earlier, what I tend also to notice with people that I work with, that they hinder their progress when there's a lot of self-judgment, when there is lack of self-love at all times, or they're not maybe in gratitude to what their body can do as you're sharing, and they're not in the present moment and just really an acceptance of where they are and also wanting to move towards what there is that they're trying to move towards. So in your opinion, Jessica, how can we harness self-love? What could be some tools that we could use? And how can we get more into that present moment where this becomes a daily practice, where we actually avoid all self-deprecating thoughts or even language that we use towards ourselves?
Yeah, great question. I feel like the first step for everything is just self-awareness. And that really, you know, it'll bleed into self-love, but really just recognizing like, what is it that you're feeling and what is it that you're doing and why is it that you're reacting a certain way? And I feel like when you do that, when you start becoming aware of who it is that you are, you're almost giving yourself that recognition, like that self-recognition, which is opening up again, like that little crack for self-love. I mean, I feel like so many of us are disconnected. We don't even know who we are.
Right.
We're lacking that awareness. But when we do, and when we can actually take the time to start understanding why I'm feeling this way, why do I get triggered this way? Or even looking at your values, what is it that I like to do? What is it that I truly value? Just starting to know more of yourself, I honestly feel like it just kind of, it brings you that self-love. It creates that foundation for that self-love. How I feel like it's almost, how can you not love yourself after you start understanding yourself and recognizing yourself? And it's also this recognition. And I think what really made it big too, and like, I'm going to pull back from, you know, the moment in my coma, because then it's the realization that like, we're creating this reality. Everything that we see is coming through us, and it's our judgment, our definitions, our perception, our qualifications of everything. So like, we are the focal point in our life. We are giving everything that we see today its definition and its purpose, right? It's all coming through us. We're literally creating our own unique world, right? There's one world here, but we're all living on a different planet, so to speak, because we're creating it. And so when you recognize that as well, that like, holy moly, everything is coming through me. How can you not love the awareness that you are? Like you are giving yourself this experience. Like that is incredible. And so I think even just switching the perspective to noticing like just the incredible being that you are, it just automatically brings in a sense of self-love.
So good. You know, when you were sharing your story earlier and just talking about that moment where you realize I'm here, but I'm not really here. Like I'm in my body, but I'm not really in my body. And then you, I think at that point, realized you were connected to a much greater power. You were part of something way bigger than what we think we are. And to me, that's always what brings about my practice of self-love is first and foremost that I view myself as a person who's non-judgmental. I don't judge people for what they do, what they look like. I mean, I am so in awe of all of God's creation. I'm not going to look at two flowers and say, this flower is more beautiful than that flower. All flowers are beautiful. I'm not going to look at the sky and say, look, today it's ugly. No, it's such a miracle. It's always a miracle. And so if I don't judge the world around me, if I don't judge other people, who am I to judge myself? Because I'm a part of that world and I was created by the magnificence and the source that created it all. So who am I to judge? And clearly I'm here for a reason. And I had moments in my life where I should have been taken away. I should have died in an accident. I should have died in so many different ways. I almost died drowning. I almost died choking one time. And when you realize, wow, that was the grace of God that saved me. And plug in, by the way, universe or source or whatever energy, whatever resonates with you. But I truly believe when you realize that there is a greater purpose than just my physical body here on this planet, that I'm actually supposed to do something with it, that I'm supposed to impact people, that I'm supposed to give more, then it's very, very difficult to just keep that focus on me, on my body, on my not enoughness, and instead be able to really see how I am connected to all of this. And I'm just a part of it. And I'm here just to do my part. So I'm curious around some of your beliefs, maybe that you'd be open to share in terms of how you might feel that you're just connected to all of this and that you're here for a reason and that all of this has happened for you and not to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I totally hear what you're saying. And I 100% agree that we are part of this grander piece. I mean, we're connected to everything in the universe. And so part of a much greater whole, and nothing happens by chance. Nothing happens by accident. I really believe that, you know, the experiences that I've endured and everything, it's all for a reason. It's to teach me something, teach my soul to be able to elevate later on, you know, recognizing that we each do have a soul. We're more than just this body, as you're saying. And so that evolution, but then also to take it to be able to share with others. I truly believe that we're all here to help one another. Like, I mean, humans are social beings as well. Like we're not on this earth alone. And so I think everything is so interconnected in what we experience. It's almost like we have a duty to then go and share it with others. And to your point, there was another moment that I had when I was, and this was one of the times that I was walking in the forest with my dog and I was looking at the trees and I thought, oh my goodness, I can't watch this when I'm no longer here. The quote exactly that fell into my mind was, you can't watch the world when you're no longer here. You are this entire existence. So how can you not be good enough? Again, if everything's coming through you and you're saying, oh, this is good. Oh, this is good. Oh, this is bad. Again, where is that awareness coming from? It's all coming from within us. And so it's also recognizing that everything that I see and that is in my awareness is because there is a part of it within myself. And so with that, we're literally the world. We're literally everything, because everything that's in our awareness we are that awareness.
Oh, so good. So good. So good. And this is, in my opinion, the greatest source of our suffering. Is this constant polarization of everything around us, this dual mind where this has to be good and this has to be bad. And what's super interesting about that, coming back to what you were sharing earlier, when you acknowledge that your view of the world is simply yours and nobody else is using that user's manual but you, and therefore you've decided that these things were good and these things were bad, what would happen if we were just to take a step back with a non-judgmental stance and just observe with that level of awareness that you're sharing with us, just things as they are. We don't have to like or dislike them. And the more that we like or dislike them, the more we create our suffering, because when we get the things that we want, then we're super happy and everything is great and life is really great. Like, I have to have a sunny day to be happy. And if it's a rainy day and I don't get what I want, I don't get the sun, then all of a sudden I have a miserable day. I have the worst day ever. And now the rest of my day is completely ruined simply because of something that was outside of my control. And so what do you share around that in terms of really just getting to that place of peace, of acceptance, of maybe even surrender to what we cannot control?
Yeah, honestly, for that, I would just recommend meditation. Because when you meditate and when you could just, then you leave that judgment behind. You go to a place of no judgment, of no thought. You kind of silence the conscious mind and just tip into more of the infinite source of who you are. And so I think doing a meditation practice, having that mindful practice, just loosens that by default. And then once that's loosened, that is when it's almost like when there's an opening, when you have unplanted some, you know, a belief or kind of just shifted the soil a little bit. It's like, okay, what more can you put in there now? Can you put in positivity? Can you put in, you know, something that the new beliefs that you want that'll help you achieve the life that you desire, like, can you plant that in? But it's just getting to that space. And so I think doing a mindful practice like meditation is really the number one and the starting point to just starting to shift that soil, loosen the kind of resistance that we're all feeling.
So good. I love this. I love you, Jessica. You're absolutely amazing. Yeah. What a gorgeous light you are. And if there was one more thing that you wanted to share today that you didn't get a chance to, what would that be?
Just believe in yourself. Really? You are this world. As we were talking about through, you know, the whole duration of this interview, like, everything is truly coming through you. And so believe in you, because you are literally creating your world. And, you know, you are additionally creating the roadblocks. One thing that I like to say, the only real limits are the ones that we accept in our mind. And when we can get to a place where we recognize that, whoa, wait, I am creating everything in my life. So can I create something that I enjoy better? Can I create a better experience for myself? And just believe that you are that source in your life. And so you are capable of anything that you set your mind to. It's just a matter of believing it and then start taking those steps towards creating that for yourself.
I love that. So good. And what a beautiful way to end our conversation today. And along those lines, Jessica, if somebody wanted to reach out to learn more from you or to learn how to work with you, where could they go to do that?
Yeah, the best place would be to go on my website. So it's chazalhouse.ca. Or they can also find me on Instagram at chazalhouse.ca.
Amazing. We're going to have all of that in the show notes, making sure people can reach out to you. Thanks so much again, Jess, for this time. I really loved our conversation.
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fall in Love with Fitness. Whether you're already on your fitness journey or just getting started, we're in this together. Just head on over to iTunes, subscribe, and leave a review, and you'll be entered into the drawing to win my 6-week transformation course. Then go to fallinlovewithfitness.com and get your free gift from me so you get back your energy and reinvigorate your life. Join me on the next episode, and remember, you are an inspiration.